Buying or selling your home? Real Estate for Life can connect you with a pro-life real estate agent. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 65% to Catholic Answers. Learn more at realestateforlife.org. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I told you we had a good Friday show lined up for you. I wasn't lying. Darren did a good job on this one. John Sablon is with us now, and he co-founded World Ablaze, a Catholic apostolate focused on evangelizing and discipleship, and just a wonderful advocate for and defender of, but more of engaging people with the Catholic faith, I would say, as his ministry. You were in technology before you were in ministry, right?
I do both.
Oh, you still do both?
Yeah, I still do both. So I'm evangelizing in the cyber technology world every day.
How big is your brain? Like, I can't even do one job. Like, you're...
It's not that big, Si. It's
really?
Not that big. But the Lord grants grace to those.
Yes, that's true. He does. But we're going to talk a little bit about... I like the idea that we're going to talk about disengaged Catholics, Catholics who aren't engaged today, because that's your thing. That's your passion. But I Edgar got this, and I think he might have gotten it from you, but a Pew study came out. We talked about it a little bit on the air, but I don't think I really dug into it. I didn't realize this. 47% of U.S. adults have a personal family connection to Catholicism. 13% of U.S. adults engage in weekly Mass, daily prayer, and annual confession. 13%. So we have a vast mission field, I would say, within the Catholic Church. Is that what your view is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So those who are familiar with it, Pew Research put this out in, I think, June 16th, and they did a study around, right, the personal connection to the Catholic Church, and it broke down in four different categories. The one you described was the 20% of those who identify as being Catholics, but only 13% of that 20%.
Oh, that's
actually,
what I read that wrong, yeah. Man. Oh, that's even worse. Holy smokes.
Yeah, because it was really kind of trying to tease out those who pray daily, those who attend Mass weekly, and those who go to confession once a year. So we're talking, you know, bare minimum Catholicism, right? So of the 20% in that first category, only 13% of them do all three. So then you go on to the next three categories, which ends up being these other categories of cultural Catholicism. That's 9%. There's another 9% that is connected through, or we're formal Catholics, no longer Catholics. That's another 9%. And then there's another 9% that says, I'm connected through some other ways, through family. I'm married, my spouse, or, right, you know, I've got my grandma or an aunt or something, that somebody that's close to me that I'm connected to the Catholic Church in that way. So 27% of the 47% are those that are on the fringes, if you will. And then that 20% is actually those that self-identify as Catholics, but perhaps are sacramentalized, but not evangelized.
So how can we, reclaim would be the word. How can we invite those back or bring those folks back? Or maybe that some of them have never, I know people who will, if you say, what's your religion, for example, they'll say Catholic, but since they were baptized, they really haven't darkened the door of a church.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough question. I think it's unique to the situation and to the person. I mean, I was a cradle Catholic, somebody who checked the box, who identified culturally as Catholic, but didn't practice the faith. And so I can understand and appreciate this survey from so many different facets, because it's been a journey for me to actually come back into fullness of that faith with the church, to finish my initiation into Holy Mother Church, and to actually live the faith. Because I think that's part of our challenge right now is, the opportunity, let's start there. If we say 47% of people actually have some connection, that means one out of every two people that we encounter on a daily basis has some connection. So it's a positive thing in that sense, but now the real work begins, because they fit into one of those four categories. And so we have people that are actually in the pew that need to be evangelized. And so it's very unique in that way. And I mean, some of the stuff that we need to do, honestly, Sire, isn't really earth-shattering, but I think the first thing that we need to do, first and foremost, as Catholics who want to evangelize those who are falling away, is actually live the faith, witness to that faith. Do they see something that's attractive? Right? Because holiness is attractive. And are we provocative enough in the sense of how we live that faith? You know, are we, do we stand out? Are we countercultural? Do they encounter us and see something that's different enough to go, you know, it's like the St. John the Baptist, right? Like, you're like, something's going on here. Why was Herod so intrigued by St. John, right? Like, he loved to listen to, he was intrigued by him because he was different. He was different, but he lived and he, his life spoke to what he believed. And he believed that Christ was the Messiah. And do we as Catholics, that, you know, that creed, especially that 20% that are sitting in the pews with us, that, is that creed that we actually pray, do we mean it? Do we live it? Do we you know, live and breathe all of that? So I think that's a first start, is actually witnessing to the faith that we profess.
We're talking about re-engaging with disengaged Catholics, which is a huge part of the mission field here in the United States and probably in much of the Western world. The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking with John Sablon about that topic, and you are very welcome to get on that phone and call 888-318-7884. All right, so what if I don't want to be holy and live an exemplary life? Could I just get a web page or something like that? Would that do it?
No. Short answer,
man.
Right?
I was looking for the easy way out here.
Well, you know what's funny? Because I think that would be an assumption that we would make that would be an error when we think that people don't desire to be great.
Oh, that don't desire. Good point. Yeah.
Right. So I don't think most people, and again, I'm going to put aside whether there's, you know, mental health issues or other things that contribute to it. But most people, so I don't wake up and say, I want to suck today. Right. I just want to be terrible. I don't want to. I think they wake up and they desire to be not just good, but great in all aspects of their life. That's why you see the self-help area, you know, people wanting to be disciplined. You got this move to, you know, be the boss man or the boss ladies, to aspire at all these things that are worldly. But yet when it comes to the one thing that matters, which is our salvation, people tend to say, ah, that's not for me. Right? Well, that's not that.
Or they say something like this, and I wonder how you would address somebody that said, say they're listening to you right now and they go, you know what? I've gone to Mass. I really don't get anything out of it.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the, you know, when you think about one of the areas where that first category, especially, I mean, you could probably hit them across, is that I'm not really feeling, there's not really anything there for me. I'm not getting anything out of Mass. And I think that's really a misunderstanding of what the Mass is, right? The sacrifice that's there. And a lot of people, I mean, you have great folks like Sherry Waddell's done a lot of this work when she was doing Forming Intentional Disciples, right? That first exit out, if you will, is like, I don't feel anything. I don't feel God's presence. I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of Mass. And it's not really about getting anything out of Mass. It's about giving something at Mass. And that's really conforming our offerings, our sacrifice, to the one sacrifice made by our Lord in Jesus Christ. And so a lot of it is just really a misunderstanding when it comes to what it is that people either experience or haven't experienced when it comes to their experience with God and especially the Catholic Church. And so you can see, you know, those things that either they're disillusioned with what they expect to be in the church. And I think that's where we have some work to be cut out, because that's one of the things. They're spiritually disengaged. You know, they're not intentional disciples.
But I noticed what you didn't say was we should improve the music or something like that at Mass.
I would disagree to some degree. So it depends on what we mean by improve the music, right? Because I think what we've tried to do is make ourselves look like everyone else. So from a Protestant perspective, right, we've started to do, you know, there's a lot, the Protestant churches may be filled because they have a lot of this, you know, drum sets and guitars and people praise and worshiping. And while praise and worship is obviously a part of the Mass, there's a way to do it. And I think when we start to look like everybody else, what's the point of Catholicism, right?
Yeah,
so I think we do need to improve. You know, we know about the transcendentals, you know, truth, goodness, and beauty. And I think we need to return to the sacred when it comes to especially the liturgy, that our God, all-powerful, all-loving, who gave us his only begotten Son, who redeemed us, deserves our very best. So that's in our dress, that's in the music, that's the way that we worship him. And while there's things, you know, we talk about praise and worship, and you get a good, you know, praise and worship song, while that is a good thing, it may not necessarily be a good thing in the context of the liturgy. And I think that's what we have to do a better job of catechizing the faithful out there, what's appropriate when it comes to things like the liturgy and the liturgical aspects. And so I do think we do need to improve the Mass when it comes to the sacredness of what we do, how we pray, the silence, the type of music, the Latin parts of the Mass, if you will, so the things that the Church has prescribed, even through Vatican II, of does this feel different than the world I just left to step into this church? Mm-hmm. And I think because it hasn't felt that way, even that initial attractiveness because it feels good, we've still lost people that have left the church. You know, you talk about Pew Research studies back in whatever it was, 2013, where we're saying, you know, for every one person that comes into the church, 6.5 leave, right? That gets confirmed. And so there's a lot of that data that shows that what we have been doing isn't working. So we need to do something different.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. You can find John's website at johnsablon.com. He's got a wonderful book, Christ-like, After God's Own Heart. And today we're talking about re-engaging with the disengaged Catholic, which I think more and more people are, it's dawning on them that when Christ instructs us to go and make disciples of all the nations, we've got a nation worth of people who are Catholic but disengaged right here, or in some way connected to the Catholic Church but not engaged in the faith life, and we can re-engage them. If you've got questions in that regard you'd like to talk with John about, 888-318-7884.
Miss a show? Make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily Mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at magnificat.com.
EWTN Global Catholic Network is the largest religious media network in the world. 11 global TV channels, English and Spanish radio networks with over 500 AM and FM radio affiliates, one of the largest Catholic websites in the world, dozens of podcasts every week, social media, electronic and print news services, and EWTN publishing. EWTN is the global Catholic network. For more about EWTN, visit EWTN.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. John Sablon, our guest, and we're talking about re-engaging with disengaged Catholics, 888-318-7884. Parents, a lot of us who have adult children know that helping them to re-engage with the faith is a big part of what our prayer life is about, certainly. John was pointing out that if you look at this recent Pew Research survey on Catholics, you have a certain group that's self-identified Catholics, you have a group that's cultural Catholics, you have a group that's former Catholics, and then you have a fourth group that's people who are connected by marriage or by some other family relationship or association to the Catholic Church. And so if we just thought about those groups, how could we reconnect or connect with those groups so that they would be fully engaged? And fully engaged here is not described as, you know, we're not talking about, you know, you have to become Damien and Molokai or something. We're talking about going to Mass every week, praying every day, and getting to confession at least once a year. That this is the baseline for living the Catholic life. And it's when you think about it that way, it's not terribly hard. It's not like this is prohibitively difficult. So we're not inviting people to the hardest thing in the world, and yet we're still not getting them. So what gives?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because I'm again coming from a place where I used to be in that place, and then also with family members and friends, and it's trying to fill a God-sized hole with a world-sized cup. And mm-hmm. I think the world is so loud about what makes you happy, the things that will satisfy you, the things that will, you know, once you arrive, you know, is it the job? Is it the car? Is it the money? Is it the relationships or the many of those? Is it the notoriety, the fame? And yet with all the examples that we have, Si, like we have plenty of famous people who unfortunately who've taken their own lives. So it's not the fame. We have plenty of money,
yeah.
Right? Who have suffered greatly and severely, who are alone and, you know, be in a room full of people, but feel like they're the only one there. And so we have all these examples around us, yet for some reason we think we're exempt from that, that the thing that we're chasing is, whatever that may be, is going to be the thing that completes me. And we know that that's only God. And so there's a desire written into our hearts, but it's to be fulfilled by God. And so we have to find a way to walk our fellow brothers and sisters, especially the fallen away Catholics, but even those that go without knowing Christ and the gospel, to help them come to that realization. So like if you take the cultural Catholic, you know, it's a handed down faith. They never internalized it, right? And that was me. It was just like you identified. I never identified as any other faith.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never owned it, right? I never lived. I never saw it lived. I saw it part of the culture. So I'm from the island of Guam. So you would, as much as you would check the box that you're Guamanian, you would check that you're a Catholic. And it was a very Catholic island back in the day, not so much anymore. But I think we have to find where that person is missing, and we know what they're missing, but find how they would describe it and articulate that longing and help them see that really that can only be fulfilled by God. And living a very fruitful Catholic faith, I'm not talking checkbox Catholicism, not mechanical rote, because plenty of people go to church on Sunday and really go to hell Monday through Saturday. That's the reality of it. The practical atheism.
Yeah, right.
Right, that we see. It's not about just looking good, and it's not even just about feeling good. It's about being good to he who is good, right, in that sense, and giving God what is due to him in our worship. But then I think recognizing there's so many studies. You got the great father, Robert Spitzer's of the world. He breaks down the four levels of happiness, if you will, and he talks about the four levels. And, you know, most of us are operating at that level one and two, that kind of fleshful desire, satisfying our own passions and our desires. Then there's that level two that's a self-ego comparison. So let me compare myself to the rest of the world. And that's where he says, I think he don't quote me on this one, but it's like 70% of people are stuck in that level one, level two happiness cycle.
That's what they think. That's where they're trying to derive happiness. They're trying to get that from those things. Yeah.
Yeah. From the self-pleasure, self-gratification, the earthly things, the worldly things, or let me compare myself to the next person, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yeah.
Right. And even we get this in the Catholic sphere, right? They see Catholics out there in the social media world and they're like, well, why isn't my life like theirs? Oh, they seem like they have it all together, or their kids are the best, or their husband's the best, or their whatever's the best. And then the devil's just having a field day with that. Whereas the level three, level four happen to do with getting outside of yourself, going in service to others, and then ultimately the transcendental, right, is that level four happiness, that the things that God can only satisfy forever. And I think the search for happiness is where we probably need to start. Are you happy with your life right now?
Yeah, because there is a certain promise made. Just it's implied in all the advertising and the secular, the idea of the whole secular world is it's a free for all. You can be happy. You can find your own happiness, and it's probably the most unhappy society that you can imagine. I mean, there's people were happier living under kings and queens who were scandalously corrupt. But but when they had a community and a church and a family, they were happier than modern people are.
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. We have technological advances. We have more than we can imagine as humans in this world with regards to information, materialism, all of that. And yet, if you think about, I do this especially when I'm out there preaching evangelize, especially to parents in particular and adults. But if you knew what the top four killers of our youth today were, what would you, I always ask that question, what are the top four killers, right? And one is, the first one is accidents, but yet that second one is suicide, then homicide,
oh,
then
man.
than basically drug abuse, substance abuse. And so if they're not killing themselves, they're killing one another, right? Or they're numbing their pain.
That's
and so,
so
if it's terrible, right? And I think this is a universal problem we have. And I think the church has the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. But what are we doing to address that issue? It isn't more money. It isn't more things. It isn't more fame. It isn't more, you know, glamour. It isn't more connection through technology. It's actually being connected to God and to our community. And so I think that's the other part too, is again, what everybody, I think, is it Aristotle, right? Everybody desires happiness, and it's the one thing that can be chosen for itself, but it's how we define that happiness, which is going to be the key. And so, you know, I think starting with that portion of like, everybody wants to be happy, but are you happy right now? And if not, why not? And then if the things that you've tried, yeah, what's missing in your life? And then we have to kind of figure out a way, because in those four categories, you know, some people have been hurt by the church. Some people have been hurt by, and when I say hurt by the church, I don't mean Holy Mother Church, the Holy Spirit. I mean by members within the church, right? The body, not the head. And I think that's been somewhat of an issue for us as a church as well, is not explaining that away, taking accountability for the fact that we're broken. We're a divine institution trusted to man, and that don't leave Jesus for Judas, right? I think that's a big point that we need to also work with our fellow fallen away Catholics.
The number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking about re-engaging the disengaged with the Catholic faith. George is in Cambridge, Maryland. Thank you for the call, George. Go ahead with your question for our guest, John Sablon.
Hello.
Hello, George.
I'm George from Cambridge, Maryland, on the Eastern Shore. So my question is, I haven't started it yet, but I am planning on starting a business in woodworking, and like computer controlled woodworking, and so I've given a lot of thought about, about my faith, and do you mind me saying, so I sort of consider that this would be, the woodworking would be like a vocation?
Yes. Where you would like to, through the business that you're starting, have an influence as a Catholic that would maybe draw people back to the faith, draw people back to Jesus, draw people back to the sacraments. Is that what you're thinking of?
Kind of. I was listening to what you were just saying about secular and Catholic, and mind if I'm saying that, I didn't have any problem with the secular, or the profane as understood as, let me just say, outside of the church. Do you understand?
I think I understand. So the business itself would be secular, and so we were talking in the last hour about the secular and the as opposed to the Catholic, and so it seems to me that what you're asking, George, and I'm going to ask this of John, and then we'll come back to you and see if we got what you were looking for. Has to do with, this is an actual business. This is in the secular world. This is something you're doing in the secular world. But does it have a role in Catholic evangelization? Does that make sense to you, John?
It does. And I would say absolutely this is something that you should be using as a method of evangelization. I think in Pope St. John Paul the Great's letter to artists, two things that come to mind that he said. One is that beauty is the key to the mystery and a call to the transcendence, right? So we talked about the four levels of happiness, George. That would be the that would be the highest level, and that really for you as somebody who would be doing woodworking, right? That your vocation is to create beauty. And so while it isn't necessarily to be, obliquely classic, for instance, right? Like you're making, I mean, I think there is definitely a need for us to make sacred art and sacred images as it relates to the craft that you're in. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that. It just needs to be something that's beautiful and in alignment with God's creation and points somebody to something greater than themselves, something greater than this world.
I'll tell you what, George, I want to come back to you, but we're at the break. The music is going to play right now. So if you would hang on a second, we'll come back and see if we got to what you wanted us to address. It's Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is John Sablon. I'm getting to the calls. I'll get to you. Hang on. There's a couple lines open, 888-318-7884. Have you ever wondered about the mysterious, even obscure aspects of the Catholic faith? Dive into the Jimmy Akin podcast, where Jimmy brings together information from many fields as he pushes the boundaries of apologetics. Tune in today to the Jimmy Akin podcast, Mysteries of the Faith, a highly entertaining, informative, and at times humorous show that will help you grow in your faith. Visit JimmyAkinPodcast.com today to subscribe.
Lots of people have big questions about Catholicism. It needs a big book of answers, and now it's got one. The Big Book of Catholic Answers is filled with helpful replies to more than 250 questions about the faith. Questions about God, salvation history, the Creed, the Bible, the list goes on and on. Order your copy of the Big Book of Catholic Answers today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
We hope that one of the things that we communicate here at Catholic Answers Live is that our Catholic faith allows us to be fully serious about all the problems we encounter in the church and in the world, but it also lets us have light hearts and maybe even mix in a bit of fun, and that is exactly what our good friend Joe Heschmeyer does in his popular podcast, Shameless Popery. You should check it out at shamelessjoe.com. Joe's got a deep grasp of the faith, of morals, the teachings of the church, all that, but he's also got a witty conversational style. He entertains and he informs, but you will leave equipped to better answer the most common challenges, misconceptions, and questions about the Catholic faith. He's got insightful guests, he does on-air debates, and he takes a close look into all the things that you want to know about as a Catholic living today. You'll walk away knowledgeable and filled with joy. Look for Joe on his YouTube channel. Check him out at shamelessjoe.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, become a patron. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest is John Sablon. You should check out his website, johnsablon.com. You can check out his book. I think the book is specifically geared towards men, right? Christ-like after God's own heart. You're trying to help men be like, I know where it comes from. King David is described as a man after God's own heart. So you're trying to get us to be like King David and descendant, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're all called to be Christ-like. And I think in particular for us men, the exemplar model for us men in masculinity as God designed it. And that's really the intent behind Christ-like, is to kind of walk men through a simple strategy, a battle plan, if you will, to just grow in holiness and grow in your relationship with our Lord through my own journey, through wisdom of the church, saints, scripture, catechism, as well as just encountering men over the course of, you know, over a decade of just ministering to men. So not to say women can't read it. I think there's plenty of good stuff in there for you as well, but it is speaking to the heart of man.
Don't worry about who reads it. Worry about who buys it, John.
There you go. There you go, Cy.
888-318-7884 is our number. George is in Cambridge, Maryland, and we got to speak with George through the break. And I said, we'll answer more on the air. And my understanding is George is saying, look, I have this ability at woodworking. Could I make a business that would support the local Catholic church or build up the church in some way? And so I wanted to come back to you because that was George's follow-up. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think going back to how we before we went into the break, that it's his vocation to create this beauty. And so I think that it's what you're making that's important. And I think you can support the church in a variety of different ways, George. I think you can make art for the church, for your local parish especially. So you want to start where you're part of the community. But then if you use some of your proceeds to give to a specific ministry or to the church in that way, or you're being a vendor at some of these events, I think there's multiple ways to do it. But just making sure that, again, the art that you are creating is something that is pointing others to the eternal, right, to God himself. And I think, again, as JP2 is really trying to speak to there, is that it's speaking to the infinite thing within you.
George, did you mention his letter to artists?
Yes.
So, George, that's available online at the Vatican. Actually, if you just typed in John Paul II letter to artists, you would come upon it. But thank you very much. I do think this is a constant thing for us as Catholics, is we are the laity. We are called to be in the world. And there's value in the worldly work we do. The church is not dismissing that work. But there's also a way to do that work and a way to live that. It's like the person who, I don't know, they got a restaurant or something, but they got the crucifix up in the kitchen. I know somebody like that. It's not a fundamental change to the business, but it is saying, look, this place is what it is because of that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, again, it's a way to evangelize through the beauty that you create through art, but also the way that you run your business. And then and what you support with your business, I think, is important as well.
Let's go to Michael in Tucson, Arizona, watching on YouTube. Oh, now all the lines are full. All right, I'll go quicker. Michael in Tucson, Arizona, go ahead with your question for John Sablon.
Hi, Michael. Thank you. John, I personally find you personally interesting because I've been working in information security since before DEFCON was a thing. And a lot of people I talk to work in technology, and we spend all of our time trying to solve puzzles and prove things. And when I talk to them about their fallen away Catholic faith, I always get the answer that, well, I can't solve the puzzle of the mystery of how I'm supposed to live my Catholic life because my secular life has spent so much time solving problems, right? So what I want is just a very simple way to try and connect with those kind of people.
Yeah, I guess that's an interesting approach. And I guess, you know, us both working in technology and security realm, we encounter a lot of different types of individuals. Typically, most folks are, if they're not atheist, or they're maybe agnostic at best. And so there is an element of where there's an intellectual aspect to it, right? They're not convinced, or there's an over-reliance, scientism, if you will, or the fact that we get paid to solve problems, right? And so how do we solve this Catholic problem? And I think really, honestly, Michael, when it comes down to it is, what's the answer to, how do we solve life issues, right? If we engage others, they're like, okay, what's your biggest issues today? And it could be within their marriage, maybe it's with the relationship with their kids, maybe it's even their performance at work. And how's that going for you? And I think, you know, Socratic dialogue is always a kind of a go-to in that sense of trying to understand, maybe it's not really about trying to solve, it's probably more about control. And I think for us as Catholics, especially for us men, especially for those who work in the sciences, we work in a world that we're always in control, in a place of where we're fixing, solving those things. And when you are not in the driver's seat, and when our faith requires a reckless abandonment of your own self-will, if you will, that it presents a problem for us. And so I think it's, again, having that conversation with your fellow peers, your workers, to be able to try to understand where is it they're coming from when they talk about their faith. Why did you leave the faith? Not even making it a, it's just like, hey, when's the last time you felt the presence of God? What, you know, when did we lose you? And how did we lose you? Right? And showing more of the compassion and the patience and the humility to actually try to understand where they are at with God and the church. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but let me know, Michael. How does that sound to you?
You're doing well. I think my only specific concern it would be that the mystery of the sacramental life, like going to Mass and taking the Eucharist and all that kind of stuff, it's all mysterious, and there's no answer for those questions. You know what I mean? And they can't make that stuff right in their own mind.
Well, I guess to a certain degree, are we ever going to fully understand it on this side of heaven or hell? Probably not to where we need to be, but I think there's some elements we can point to. So if you're talking about people from a Catholic perspective, we have sacred scripture. We have the church's teaching, for instance, on the true presence. When we talk about the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that we go to Mass, right, as a form of worship to give our God the praise that's due to him, but there's also a sacrifice being offered. We remember, right, do this in memory of me, as our Lord said at the Last Supper, his sacrifice for all of us, that we were redeemed by his sacrifice. And so I think we do have answers. And so I guess I'd have to understand a little bit more on the mystery side of it, because it's not like an equation we're trying to complete or figure out, or a problem we're solving. It's actually an acknowledgement of how much God loves us. Right, that he died that death on that cross for our sake and for the sake of even those that don't believe it. And so I think it's not a great of the mystery, perhaps, but maybe just teasing that back a little bit more and understanding, well, what is it about Mass or confession or baptism or confirmation that you don't understand, and how can I help?
I have to say, I really like John's answer, but I feel a little suspicious of these people, because I don't go, I'm hungry, but I don't really understand food, so I'm not going to eat. Like, if you wanted it, you would try it. You would take it. It seems to me more of a lack of desire, because maybe they don't think there's anything there for them, Michael.
I agree with Cy, and I also agree with John. So I'm going to leave it there and let you guys get on with your day. Bless you both.
Oh, God bless you, Michael. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
That's one. We keep score of everybody who agreed with me throughout the week. It's Friday, and that's one. So there that is double last week. Yes, you are correct. Gary in, is that right? Yeah, Gary in Montana, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Gary, go ahead with your question for John Sablon.
Yeah, and my question is, how does the Latin Mass play a role in trying to bring people back to the church? You know, me and my wife are both travel nurses, and we travel around the country quite a bit. We go to Novus Ordo Masses. We attend also Latin Mass. But we've noticed is that there's young 30-year-olds with three, four kids, and it seems like it's flourishing there. And yet the Novus Ordo Mass, it's not as flourishing, I guess. And so I guess why... It seems to fall on deaf ears amongst bishops. You know, there was at one point, I remember the actor from Transformers had a debate with, Bishop, and the one that did Father Theo. And the debate, and he basically explained to him is that when he was doing the Latin Mass as Father Theo, it was a mystery for him. That's why, you know, they weren't trying to sell him anything when he was attending the Novus Ordo Mass. And I'm not trying to put down the Novus Ordo Mass. I attend Novus Ordo Mass. But I'm just wondering, you know, that the Latin Mass seems to be growing, where the Novus Ordo Mass is people are leaving. You know, I remember when I was a young kid, I never had a chance to go to the – I was born in 1970, so I always attended the Novus Ordo Mass. But, I mean, people now, I mean – families that I knew are basically not even Catholic anymore. They just fled from the church. And so I'm wondering, why isn't, you know, and then you see the EWTN Mass, the way it's said, and they follow, it seems like, the documents of Vatican II, but none of these Novus Ordo Masses around the country are being said like even at the EWTN Mass. And why is that?
All right. John?
Yeah, so there's a couple of things there. I think if you go back to the Vatican II documents, and specifically Sacrosanctum Concilium, I think when you talk about the Latin aspects of the Mass, and I think what the Council intended to be the celebration of the liturgy, I mean, it says there that the use of Latin language is to be preserved in the Latin rites, and that that steps should be taken, that the faithful may also be able to say or sing together in Latin those parts of the ordinary Mass. And so I think... you know, what we're seeing and experiencing is some of the freedoms, perhaps, in each of these parishes to perhaps adopt or adjust, which isn't necessarily right per se. But I think as somebody who is, I mean, I go to a priestly fraternity of St. Peter where I'm located. I go to the Latin Mass. I've been drawn to the Latin Mass more and more as I grow in my faith. And I love the extraordinary form. And I think that I truly feel like I'm entering and elevating to God in that worship. That being said, I think what we need to try to do, Gary, is to try to make sure that we as faithful Catholics understand what the Church is asking of us when it comes to the liturgy, and recognizing that it's not going to be necessarily executed the way that it's even prescribed, perhaps. And that's unfortunate. And I think that's an issue that, you know, we have to pray that our faithful shepherds are addressing and working to resolve. But that's where human agency comes into play, right? That each of the priests and the pastors out there that are accountable for the liturgy and can to confer that sacrament in particular to us. It's important that, you know, Holy Mother Church has prescribed those rubrics for a reason. And so I would be an advocate to say, like, hey, it's while I would agree with you that the Mass in the parish that I go to, it's one place that I see all generations, all socioeconomic folks, backgrounds, ages, kids crying galore, 6, 7, 8 kids. They're trying to, you know, graciously rein their kids in during, you know, a high Mass or solemn high Mass. And it's beautiful to see, because you see a faith that's alive. And so I think we have to keep aiming towards that, assisting our clergy and our priests to making the Masses more reverent, more sacred, and something that is to the dignity that our Lord deserves. And so I think it plays a huge part. And I think if we go back to what the Vatican II documents ask when it comes to the Novus Ordo, I think we would get there. I know I've fortunate to have some Novus Ordo Masses here in my area that actually seem to execute it exactly the way that Vatican II prescribed. From Schola to sacred chant to Ad Orientem to incense galore, the beauty of it all comes together, and I see it done beautifully. And so I hope that becomes the rule across at least America, but across the world as well.
Gary, thank you very much. When you said the actor from Transformers debated Bishop Barron, I looked it up. I thought it was Megatron, and there was no way Megatron could beat Bishop Barron. But it was Shia LaBeouf who had a conversation with Bishop Barron. All right, we'll take a very, very quick break. Wait, you guys think Megatron would beat Barron in there? No. Bishop Barron's brilliant. All right, we'll take a break, right back with more wonderful calls coming up. If you're on the line, just hang on the line. We're going to get to you. We're talking about re-engaging disengaged Catholics right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one, Catholic Answers Live.
The Catechism defines evangelization as the proclamation of Christ and his gospel by word and the testimony of life. But what does that look like in real life? It looks like St. Paul street evangelists out in the public square sharing the good news. We're a Catholic nonprofit that starts conversations by handing out free sacramentals. Then we employ our method of listen, befriend, proclaim, and invite. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization. Visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
The most original Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Apparently, our Christianity demands humility. It demands compassion, demands that you love and pray for your enemy. We don't like that too much either.
Mother Angelica Live Classics, every morning, 2 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about re-engaging disengaged Catholics. Our guest, John Sablon, was pointing out to us, and he actually looked at the numbers and about the recent Pew research on Catholics in the United States. 40%, look, that's basically one in every two Americans has some kind of close association with the Catholic Church. Maybe it's a family member, or maybe it's they themselves, but some close association with the Catholic Church. Only 13% of those, well, no. Not even that. Only 13% of the self-identified Catholics, which is just 20% of that 48%. And if I can do the math right, 20% of 48% is a small number. I don't know if my math is correct on that, but it's a small number. And only 13% of those are going to Mass every Sunday and having daily prayer and going to confession. So the question for this hour is, how do we re-engage with disengaged Catholics? Rita is in Colleen, Texas, listening on Armor of God Catholic Radio. Awful glad to have you, Rita. Go ahead with your question.
Okay, I hope I can get this spouted out the way I want it to sound.
Well, you better.
I hope.
All right.
I have a son around 50 years old, left the church in college, and that kind of followed kind of getting turned off in his high school senior CCD class when he was told that sex was only for having kids, and that just sat wrong with him. And he isn't today attending church of any kind.
Okay.
When I go to visit, he will go with me. But what I want to know, what is a non-confronting way of approaching conversation with him on why he doesn't go to church, or you get the drift of what I need to know?
It seems very clear, Rita. Yes.
Absolutely, Rita. You did a great job getting that out. So so here, I'm gonna actually borrow from my wife and the work that she's done to even evangelize me back to Holy Mother Church and to be the God that man has designed and called me to be. And I think in all these relationships, so you can apply it to your son, you can apply it to spouses, you can apply it to children. The non-confrontational way is, could you convey to your son your concern over his salvation in a way that comes from a place of charity and true sincerity? And so when our fallen away brethren can feel that we care more about their salvation than our own opinions, than us winning debates, than our own hurt wounds, then I think they can start to trust that we actually will their good, as Aquinas would say, will their good and willing to do something about it, right? Will their good as other. And I think that would be a good place to start, even if you go back to and say, you know, hey, we're always raised Catholic. When did it change for you? You know, and I know you pointed out a specific, but you could even start with questions. How are things going? You know, how's your life going? Really, right? Sometimes when I'm around my, you know, especially my fellow brothers, I'll kind of say, how are things going? And then I'll tap them in their heart. Now, how are things going, right? Really? And just start opening up the question and letting them speak and listen actively. You know, where's God for you? Where did it go wrong? Would you be open to anything? You know, to the faith? You know, because he comes to Mass with you, which is amazing, right? That's a little a seed. Maybe we can call it a little grace bomb that's being planted right there, that the Lord can use. And I will tell you, as a mother, Rita, and I'm gonna say this for all mothers and wives, your prayers and fasting in particular are super efficacious. And so never underestimate the power of your prayer as a mother for your son in particular. So my dear sister, I would say it's easy to be non-confrontational when you're not being confrontational, that you come from a place of maternal care and love, and that you just share with him, hey, as we get older, I just kind of want to know where, you know, God's in your life. How are things have been going? And would you be open to maybe spiritual conversation and see where it goes, and just spend more time listening than you are answering, and let them know that you're praying. And I think as a mother, you have kind of more of a freedom and more of a runway, if you will, to to send him a card, a handwritten card, letting him know you're thinking about him and say, hey, there was this prayer card. I thought about you. You dropped that in the mail. Or, hey, you know, I was, how are you doing? Hey, hope you're doing okay. Hey, I ran across this YouTube video with Father Mike Smith's talking about confession. And, it brought you to mind about whatever, right? And sending him that link. And so find those little opportunities to plant those seeds, those little grace bombs for the Holy Spirit to work. Holy Spirit will cultivate. You keep praying, you keep fasting, you keep inviting, you keep planting, and we'll see what the Lord can do. Never give up.
Okay, thank you very much.
Rita, thank you so much for the call. I'm going to send you a book we have called Why We're Catholic, because in addition to all those things, you can just leave that sitting around your house and somebody might accidentally pick it up. Not accidentally, but might come across it. But Trent Horn wrote that beautiful book, Why We're Catholic, and we'd love to send it to you. All you have to do is hang on the line, give us an address there in Texas, and we'll send it. I'm going to keep going, try to get as many on as I can. Angel is in Perrysburg, Ohio, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Angel, welcome. Go ahead with your question.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you for such an interesting show. Hi. Thank you. My question is, I have a lot of non-Catholic friends who tell me that going through the de rigueur of entering the Catholic Church takes too long. And as I recall, my mother, when she became from Lutheran to Catholic, it took 6 weeks. When I had my wedding bands and I was going into the military family, it took 6 weeks. And it never stopped any of us from being very, very devoted. And I'm just wondering, is the time frame just too much of a drag for people to get scared and get away from it? They seem like they're disheartened because of the length.
You know, it's a great question. And my wife and I, we used to run RCIA for about 3 years. We had a very active parish. We always had about anywhere from about 50 to 60 people in the, mm-hmm. it's now called the Order of Christian Initiation for adults. And I remember a mother who came for her adult child who's going through RCIA, essentially making that same case and that argument. And so here's how I led with that question, Angel, and tell me if this helps you at all. Because I mm-hmm. said, hey, what is it you do for a living? She goes, I'm a registered nurse. And I said, because her argument was that they really want to be Catholic and they just feel like, why do we have to go through this year plus process, right? And I said, what is it that you do for a living? She says, I'm a registered nurse. And I said, okay, that's awesome. I think, how did you fall into that? She goes, oh, I knew I wanted to be a registered nurse ever since I was in junior high. And I said, oh, in junior high. And I said, okay, what does it take to become a registered nurse? Oh, I got to go through undergraduate school, and then you got to go through board certification, yada, yada, license. I said, oh, so when you knew in seventh grade that you wanted to be, that wasn't good enough? And she says, well, no. And I said, well, why not? She goes, well, I didn't have the education. I wasn't mature enough. And I said, oh, okay. So how much more than the fullness of faith and with God? Right. And I think that's the challenge that we have, Angel, is that a lot of people, they're willing to spend, they'll go to school for 8 years to go get their doctorate. They'll go through a 6-month course to get certified, pay a lot of money, spend a lot of time, sacrifice, you know, things with the family. But when it comes to the church saying, hey, spend a year in RCIA to start to even just dabble into our 2000 plus years of existence and all the greatness and richness of our faith, we balk at it. We push back on it. We complain about it. And I think, that's an error on our side. And so I would say that, it's less about the time. I mean, and even with the RCIA process, I think there's an element if they're baptized, and we can probably have a longer discussion on that, but whether they're baptized or they're actually unbaptized. But I think the problem is with the person's perspective and perception of it, that we're not just Catholic widget building machines that you just run through and then we just squeeze you out. There's an actual expectation of conversion. There's an intentionality that we have agency, right, to be able to say that I'm accepting this faith, I'm internalizing it, I want to live this faith, and we're making a proclamation of that. So how does that sound to you? And please push back if you don't feel like I'm on.
Wow, that was impressive. I didn't think it was going to be that strong of a case, but you were amazing. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. Thank you, Angel. Okay. God bless you.
I'll tell you what, Angel. Oh, I stepped on you. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm fine.
Oh, because I was just about to give you a free book. But if you want to...
I would love that. Thank you.
Okay, good. We'll send you Why We're Catholic, too. You'll enjoy it. And as people have questions about the Catholic faith, you can find lots of answers in there. And God bless you. Thank you very much for the call. Our guest has been John Sablon. Tell us a little bit about what you do and where people can find you so they know.
Yeah, if you can go to johnsablon.com. We've got the World Ablaze aspect of what we do from an evangelization discipleship perspective. We also got Servium Institute, where me, my son, and my wife are working on coaching up virtues. So building virtuous, holy people and families. So definitely check out johnsablon.com and get the book, as Cy said, and come learn more about what me and the team do and myself in particular.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for coming on with us. I really appreciate you being here on a Friday afternoon, taking the time to do this with us.
This is an honor and a blessing, Cy. Catholic Answers has been part of my reversion, so it's pretty humbling to be here with you. So thank you.
Well, what a nice ending to the week. We're having a good ending to the week. One person said they agreed with me today, and there was a reference to Megatron. That's always a good show, and we had a lot of good calls. John Sablon's been our guest. Check out johnsablon.com. That will do it for us. We'll see you next time, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.